The focus of the first four parakim of this Masechta has been various different invalidations of a korban, some based on actions. If a part of the procedure is performed by somebody who is not a kohen, for example, somebody who is not fit to perform that service, and most of the invalidations which have been discussed are based on incorrect intentions which the person performing the procedure has had. It is the opinion of many that all of the intentions which we've been talking about would only potentially invalidate and would cause any problem if it's actually stated with words. Merely thinking makes no difference. And when the Mishnah talks about having a intention, for example, of pigul, of chutz lizmanei, to offer that korban or to eat the korban past its time limit, that doesn't mean thinking about it, but he would need to state it for it to actually turn into pigul. Be it as it may, this Mishnah is really a close to the last four prokim, and the point of the Mishnah is to tell us which intentions a kohen should have when he is performing the services of the korban. L'shem shisha dvarim hazevach nizbach, a animal korban. That's what a zevach refers to, an animal korban as opposed to a bird korban or a korban of flour. Even though the same applies to those korbanos, but the word zevach refers to a regular animal korban. Such a korban needs to be slaughtered for the sake of six different things. There needs to be six intentions, ideally, which the kohen must have when he is performing the services for the korban. And the Mishnah talks about the shechita, the slaughtering of the korban. There is a discussion as to whether this is limited to the slaughtering. Certainly some of these six things are required for all of the four avodas, namely shechita, slaughtering, kabbalah, catching and receiving the blood, holocha, transporting the blood towards the mizbeach, and zrika, throwing the blood towards the mizbeach. And what exactly are those six things? Number one, l'shem zevach, for the sake of that korban, for whatever the korban was designated to be a korban, shalomim, for example. The intent needs to be to offer a korban shalomim, l'shem zeveach, for the sake of the person bringing the korban, that it should be his korban, l'shem Hashem, for the sake of Hashem, l'shem ishim, for the sake of the fire, meaning the intention must be that the korban is going to be burnt on the fire of the mizbeach, at least the parts of the korban which are burnt there, the emurim. Number five, l'shem reach, you must have intention to burn the korban in such a way that it will let off a smell. And that means that they cannot roast or cook the korban and only then burn the emurim on the mizbeach. In that case, the burning on the mizbeach won't really let off such a smell. So the intent when performing those four avodas should be that they're going to continue the procedure of the burning of the emurim in the correct manner. And number six, l'shem nichoyach, for the sake of bringing pleasure, so to speak, to Hashem. That Hashem be pleased that we are following what he wants us to do. That is also an intent which the kohen needs to have. And the Mishnah adds, v'achatz v'asham, when offering up a korban chatz and a korban asham, at the time that he is performing the four avodas, the four services, the shem chet, he must also intend that he's performing the services with this animal, which is going to be brought as a korban to atone for a particular sin. Whatever that sin is, the kohen needs to have the intention that it's going to atone for that sin. Now, is the Mishnah suggesting that when the kohen is transporting the blood, for example, he needs to actively be thinking about six different things? The answer is certainly not. And even if he's not thinking about anything, that passive intention is really that the korban be bought for whatever it needs to be bought for. And that is sufficient. The only time we would run into a problem is if the person has the intent to do the opposite. But as long as the kohen is passive and he's not thinking otherwise, so all of these intentions are considered to be included in his general intention to offer up the korban in the correct way. Interestingly, Omar Rabbi Yossi says, "Af mi shaloyahu b'libo l'shem echad mikol elu kosher." Even somebody who didn't have the intention for any of these things, the korban would still be valid. Shehutnai Beis Din, because it is a condition of Beis Din, meaning that the Rabbanon enacted, they decreed that one should not have any particular intentions. According to Rabbi Yossi, it is preferable that when the Kohen is performing these avodas, he shouldn't think about anything. Or at least it means he shouldn't state what his intentions are. Because since if he doesn't state anything, so we say that his passive intentions is really just that the carbon be bought for whatever it needs to be bought for it to be valid. So without saying anything, the carbon is certainly going to be valid. As soon as he starts stating what his intentions are, there is a worry that he might slip up and state the wrong intention, and we run into the risk of the carbon becoming invalidated. And the Mishnah says, because the intentions only follow the one who is performing the services, meaning it's not going to help that the owner, the person bringing the korban, has all of the correct intentions if the kohen who's performing the slaughtering, for example, has the intention that it be bought for a different korban. And so the kohen can cause the owner to need to bring a different korban if he has the wrong intentions. And so according to Rabbi Yossi, ideally he shouldn't state any of his intentions so that we can be sure that he won't mess it up for the person bringing the korban, and it will be valid. According to the Tanna Kamma, the first opinion in the Mishnah, there's no such law that ideally you shouldn't say anything. You can say what the intentions are and make sure you say the correct intentions. It should be noted, by the way, that even according to the Tanna Kamma, the last four of the six intentions would never invalidate the korban. Even if somebody would explicitly state that he is not doing the services for the sake of the korban to be pleasing for Hashem, although that's forbidden and ideally he needs to have the correct intention, nevertheless it would not invalidate the korban. Only the first two things, bringing it for the sake of that korban and for the sake of the owner who wants to bring the korban, only those would potentially invalidate the korban, or at least the owner wouldn't fulfill his obligation in such a case, like we saw in the first perek. Perek Hey Mishnah Aleph. The purpose of this perek is to outline and summarize the various small differences between how each type of korban is supposed to be offered up. The procedure of bringing a animal korban involved three main parts, at least for the vast majority of animal korbanos. Like we have seen so far, the first part of the procedure involves the four avodas: slaughtering the animal, catching the blood, transporting the blood, and throwing the blood onto the mizbeach. The second part of the procedure is burning the emurim, certain parts of the animal, on the mizbeach. And the third part of the procedure, which applies to most of the animal korbanos, is eating the rest of the korban. Either the male koyanim would eat it, if it is kodshei kodshim, which is the group of korbanos which have a higher level of holiness, or the person who's bringing the korban can eat the meat of the korban, if it is kodshim kalim, which refers to korbanos which have a slightly lower degree of holiness. This perek, which is known as Ezum Makoimon, is supposed to be said every day at the beginning of davening because it outlines pretty much all of these korbanos and the small differences between them in these three parts of the procedure. Ezum Makoim Shel Zvachim, what is the place of the korbanos? Which is really asking, where does the slaughtering of the korbanos need to be performed? Because that's one of the differences which the Mishnayos are going to talk about, even though really the other differences also going to be talked about. Kodshei Kodshim, the group of the korbanos which have a higher level of holiness, Shechitas and Batzofain, their slaughtering is in the north half of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara cites an argument as to where exactly how much of the north half of the courtyard can be used for the slaughtering, but it certainly needs to be performed whilst the animal is situated in the northern half of the courtyard. And now the Mishnah is going to go through the different kodshei kodshim and discuss the various other differences between them. Parasarjim Akipurim, the bull and the male goat, which is offered up on Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol, Shechitas and Batzofain. They are slaughtered in the northern half of the courtyard, V'kibul Domim B'chishos Batzofain, and the Kabbalas Hadam, the receiving of the blood in a Kli Shores, also needs to be performed in the northern half. A kli shoreis is a utensil which has been designated for use as part of the service of the korbanos, and all utensils which are used for the service need to be a kli shoreis. They have to have been pre-designated for the purpose of using them as part of the procedure of bringing the korbanos. The domon and their blood, now going on to the final part of the four avodas, the throwing of the blood, and over here, in addition to the blood being thrown onto the Mizbeach, the Dom Ton Hazel bin Abadim, the blood requires sprinkling on the area between the two poles of the Aron HaKodesh in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the most holy inner room of the Beis HaMikdash, into which the Kohen Gadol would enter only on Yom Kippur, and he would need to sprinkle the blood in between the two poles of the Aron, and then he would go out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim into the Kodesh, which is the other room in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Paroiches, the curtain, separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So after sprinkling the blood in between the two poles of the Aron HaKodesh, he would leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim, go into the Kodesh, and throw the blood towards the Al HaParoiches, towards the curtain, and then he would throw the blood, Val Mizbach HaZahov, onto the golden Mizbeach, which was situated inside the Kodesh, that part of the Beis HaMikdash building. When throwing the blood towards the Paroiches, he would do it 8 times, and he would throw the blood onto the Mizbeach 7 times, and the Mishnah says, Matona Achz Men Ma'akeves, even one application of the blood is totally necessary. Meaning if he misses out any of the 8 or the 7 applications of the blood towards the Paroiches on the Mizbeach, then it's not considered to be that he's fulfilled this part of the service, and the korban would be invalid. Shiori Hadom, the remaining part of the blood, her Sheifich Al-Yisoid Ma'anrovich Mizbeach Achitzein, he would pour onto the western part of the Yisoid on the outer Mizbeach, the Mizbeach which was situated in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to in the actual building. So as we've mentioned earlier on in the Masechta, there was a sort of base similar to a step which surrounded the bottom part of the Mizbeach. It didn't go all the way around the Mizbeach, but it went around most of the Mizbeach. So he would pour the blood on the western side of the Mizbeach onto the Yisoid. And the Mishnah adds, Im le'nosan, if he didn't pour the rest of the blood onto the Yisoid, le'ikev, he has not invalidated the entire korban, and that is not a part of the procedure which is absolutely necessary, such that if he missed it out, it would become invalidated. Ideally, however, he is supposed to pour the rest of the blood onto the Yisoid. Mishnah Beis, the next type of korban which the Mishnah is going to discuss, is Paran Srofim, the bulls which are burnt. This refers to 2 different types of korbanos, which are offered up by the Sanhedrin, the main Beis Din, the main court over the Jewish people, and if they issued a ruling to permit something which in reality is forbidden, and the majority of the Jewish people follow that ruling, then they would be obligated to bring a particular korban, and the same would apply if a Kohen Gadol makes such a ruling to permit for himself something which is in reality forbidden, and then he goes ahead and performs that action, he would also need to bring a korban of a bull. And the reason why they are called the bulls which are burnt is because they are, most of the korban is burnt in a particular designated area outside of Yerushalayim. Usir Hanisrafim, and the male goats which are burnt, this is a korban which the Sanhedrin would need to offer up if they made a mistaken ruling regarding an avera of avodah zarah, of serving idolatry. But as it may, these are other examples of kodshei kodshim, korbanos which have a higher level of holiness, and as such, the Mishnah says, shechitos bat sofein, they need to be slaughtered in the northern half of the courtyard, the kibul domon b'chishayos bat sofein, and the kabbalah, the receiving of the blood, the second of the 4 avodas, the 4 services, needs to be performed with a kli shareis, a utensil which has been designated for the purpose of using in the procedure, in the services of the korbanos, and that also needs to be performed in the northern half, the Dom Ton Hazel HaParoiches. Their blood requires sprinkling towards the Paroiches, the curtain which separated before the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Mizbeach HaZahov, and on the golden Mizbeach inside the Kodesh, inside the Beis HaMikdash building. And just like all of the korbanos whose blood is applied on the inner Mizbeach, Matono Achas Mehen Ma'akeves, even one application is totally necessary, that if it was missed out, it would invalidate the korban. Shiori Hadam, the rest of the blood, Hoshiva, he said, Ma'arovish Mizbeach Chitzain, he would pour on the western part of the Yisoid, the base of the Mizbeach. And this is talking about the outer Mizbeach, which was in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, not the golden Mizbeach, which was in the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash. Imlei Nosan, if he didn't apply, he didn't pour the rest of the blood onto the Yisoid, lo'ikev, that does not invalidate the korban b'di'eved, once it has been done. Elu vo'elu, both the bulls and the goat, which are supposed to be burnt outside of Yerushalayim, is from the Beis HaDeshen, they are burnt in the area called the Beis HaDeshen, which literally means an area of ashes, That is the place which is designated outside of Yerushalayim for burning these korbanos. Mishnah Gimel, Chatos HaTzibur VaYochid, a korban chatos which is offered either by the community, it is offered on behalf of everybody, or VaHayochid, it's offered by an individual for his particular sin that he has performed. Elohim Chatos HaTzibur, the following is a list of the korbanos chatos brought by on behalf of everybody. Siri Rosh Chodoshim, the goats which are bought on Rosh Chodesh, which are Moados, or which are bought on Yom Tovim, festivals. Once again, Shechitas and Batzofain, they need to be slaughtered in the northern half of the courtyard, the Kibbudom and Mechlishoris Batzofain, and their blood needs to be received in a Klishoris, a utensil designated for the service, in the northern half of the courtyard. And regarding the fourth part of the fourth Avodah, the fourth service, the applying of the blood, V'domonton Arumatonis, the blood requires four applications onto the outer Mizbeach, Al Arba Kronis, on the four horns. This is referring to the four corners of the Mizbeach, and the corners of the Mizbeach went up slightly higher than the rest of the Mizbeach. So it's as if the Mizbeach has horns on the corners, and the Mizbeach is very tall. The Mizbeach was much higher than the average height of a person. So how would he reach the top part of the Mizbeach? The Mishnah says, Kate said, how would he do this? Olav HaKevesh, he would go up on the ramp of the Mizbeach, Ufon Ola Soviv, and he would turn onto the Soviv. The Soviv was an area which was roughly halfway up the Mizbeach, where the Mizbeach went inwards slightly, and so the Kohen would be able to walk around the Mizbeach halfway up. So when he would reach halfway up, he would turn onto the Soviv, and he would walk around the Mizbeach, Uvolo L'Kerem Dromis Mizrachis. He would walk towards the southeast corner, southeast horn, and he would apply the blood over there, and then he would continue walking towards the right, Mizrachis Tzfonis, and he would do the same when he reached the northeast corner, Tzfonis Ma'arovis, then the northwest corner, Ma'arovis Dromis, and then the southwest corner. Shiar Hadom, the rest of the blood which was remaining, Ayashayf HaYisod Dromi, he would pour onto the southern part of the Yisod, the base of the Mizbeach, V'ne'echolim, Niflim La'Kloim. The meat of these karbonos was eaten, and it had to be eaten within the curtains of the Beis HaMikdash. This is referring to the time when there was the Mishkan, which didn't have real walls, rather it had curtains. In the Beis HaMikdash, the equivalent would be the walls. The point is that it needs to be eaten within the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, Lezichei Kahuna, by male Koyanim. B'kol Ma'achol, it can be prepared in any way, meaning it doesn't have to be roasted specifically. The meat can be cooked in any way, L'yom V'layla, within the rest of that day that the korban was bought, and that following night, he must eat it. Ad chatzos, and he has until midnight to eat it. Midoraisa, he's able to eat it until the end of the night. However, in order to avoid any of the meat being left over, and becoming noisar, which is the name of any part of the korban which has been left beyond its time limit, so to avoid that, midrabbonon, it needs to be eaten before midnight.